meeting to order.
This is the April 21st, 2022 meeting of the Village of River Forest Historic Preservation Commission. It is a special meeting as noticed. Lisa, could you please call the roll?
Chairman Franek?
Here.
John Forehand? Carla Graham White? David Reno Ogden? Scott Krasinski?
Here.
John Schwartz?
Here.
Dan Sager?
Here.
Of a quorum.
Okay, we have four. Next item, approval of the meeting minutes for our last meeting on November 10th of 2021. Are there any comments or questions? Dan is nodding no. John Schwartz?
No. And if it's okay, I'll move that they be accepted.
Scott, any additions or deletions?
No, I don't have any.
And
I'll second John.
In the first line, it refers to John Pape as staff liaison. Is that the correct term? And I have no comments.
I second to approve the minutes.
Can you
do a roll call vote?
Please.
Member Schwartz?
Aye. Approve.
Dan?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Dave?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay. Item four. Since our last meeting, within the last 4 weeks, our longtime liaison with the village, John Pape, has resigned and taken a position in Glencoe, and we would like to take this opportunity to thank him for his years of diligence and service to us, as well as providing technical assistance for those of us who are technically challenged. John really did an extraordinary job. His will be very difficult shoes to fill, but I know that the village will succeed in doing that. And we wish him a hearty good success. Does anyone have anything they would like to add to that?
Miss him too.
How long was he in his position here at the village, do you know?
John joined the staff in 2015.
Okay.
And started with us as a graduate intern, and when he completed his internship and his master's degree, he was promoted to the what we would consider in our field the entry-level position, management analyst, and from there he was promoted a few years later to the position of assistant to the village administrator.
That's great. Thanks. I agree. I thought, even though I didn't have a long time to work with him, I was really impressed with the way he ran the meetings and prepared materials for the meetings. I was really appreciative of what he did.
John, I believe, was with us for, I think, 9 years, give or take, perhaps a little bit more. So, he was certainly a veteran hand. There are no further recognitions of John. Let's move to the next item regarding the updated approval by the Village Board of Trustees of the ordinance change regarding the PRA zone properties. You may recall in our last meeting in November, we unanimously requested that the Village Board of Trustees change a provision of the Village Historic Preservation Ordinance to allow the commission the right to extend a potential demolition delay of a significant property which is zoned public recreational institutional, PRI, for up to 12 months. That is a change from the prior 6 months, which affects other properties that are significant within the village. And the Village Board of Trustees unanimously approved that. So congratulations all around. I think that's something that will serve to protect the interest of the village as a community and the citizens within the village in that those types of properties, because of their complexity, their size, and the stronger potential of changes in use or multiple uses for the same site, would require much more than a 9 month, much more than a 6 month, excuse me, period of time within which to marshal alternatives, have those alternatives fully vetted by both the village as well as potential partners, and also financing components. I think that's a very good thing moving forward. Next item is item six, an update from Hollibird and Root regarding the former Lutheran Child and Family Services building, which is situated in 7620 Madison. That is property which is currently owned by the village. It is a significant property in accordance with a survey. The survey was commissioned and ultimately approved, I believe, in 2013, after several years of diligent effort. The commission did a request for proposal nationally. We had multiple entrants, and we selected three architectural firms in order to give an in-person presentation to view all structures within the village to determine whether they met the necessary criteria, that being the criteria established by the Secretary of the Interior in 1965 with the Historic Preservation Ordinance nationally. That's kind of the gold standard of preservation and is uniformly accepted. After those in-person interviews, we selected a local architect, as well as a local firm, coincidentally from Oak Park, in order to do that, and they did a masterful job. It is available online. It is readily updatable. It is searchable. It comes in two volumes, the first of which is a, 75-page, give or take, monograph explaining the history of the village as reflected in its architecture. The balance is a specific two-sheet reference that was developed by the architects who did the survey for us, looking at the specific properties which meet the significant property criteria. The former Lutheran Child and Family Services building is, in fact, one of those significant properties. And the question has been discussed in the past several commission meetings as to why it is on that list. So both John Pape and David Reyna Ogden, one of our architect members, separately contacted the noted Chicago architecture firm of Hollibird and Root, who were listed as the architects of record for the building. And after months and months of not getting an on-point response, we finally did receive one in March. And the response is that 10 or more years ago, there was a flood which impacted Hollibird and Root's offices, flooded their lowest level in the storage area, and in all likelihood, those specific plans were destroyed by that flood. Hollibird and Root did a very detailed examination of their records and could not find anything. And accordingly, we're now faced with not having specific information as to their involvement and what might have been significant in their architectural conduct. So we now wait for the village to proceed to its next process to determine how the village wishes to proceed coming before us to the extent that they wish to do something different with the building. that's what the update is. And if there are any questions or further thoughts, now would probably be a good time to discuss those. Otherwise, we can certainly wait till we get more information from the village with respect to its desire in terms of moving forward. And at that particular point in time, we will schedule an appropriate meeting and have that public discussion.
So is there
village administrator Brian Murphy is here on behalf of the village.
Chairman Franek, members of the board, thanks for having me, and thank you for the very complete presentation that you made. You stole pretty much everything I'm going to talk about, Dave, but I do appreciate all that you said. So what we would like to do is start the process to begin a demolition of that building. As you know, we have made a number of efforts to try to find an adaptive reuse for that property. We've put out a request for, wasn't a proposal.
An expression of interest, expression trying of interest to identify statement. Potential development partners.
We've had a number of developers come meet with us. The adaptive reuse opportunities for that property have I think believe we would need to.
I have forward. Audio cutting in and out. If I don't know if others on the phone do. Apologies.
It's intermittent.
Me too, Scott.
I don't know. Lisa, do you just want to re-summarize what I?
Sure. I'll try to summarize this. So the village has taken several steps to identify potential development partners and potential adaptive reuse of the facility that's already on the property since the property was acquired in about 2018 or so. And so it's been about 4 years, and adaptive reuse presents a number of challenges for the development, redevelopment, and reinvestment into that property. And so we've been unable to identify someone who can do that. And so our intent at this point is to proceed with efforts to demolish the property, demolish the buildings, excuse me, on the property.
And what is that process? Is there a formal proposal that comes forward at some point? Does this group kind of discuss it or not?
Yeah, I can. This is Greg Smith, the village attorney, and I can address that. On July 23rd of 2020, John Pape presented the village's application for a certificate of appropriateness to demolish this property. Yeah. At that meeting, the commission unanimously voted, with those present being Chair Franek, Commissioners Forehand, Graham White, and Sager, to accept the application for a certificate of appropriateness for demolition of the property as complete, pending the addition of any findings of research completed regarding the stained glass and the windscreen features, including contacting LCFS and Hollabaird and Root, as well as reviewing permit applications and other building documents available. So the village has already submitted its request for demolition. Almost 2 years have gone by since that request went in. Staff has conducted its diligence, and tonight I believe that the village is asking for the commission to acknowledge that its application is complete. So then a public hearing date can be set and notice can be given on the request for a certificate of appropriateness for demolition of the structure.
Got it. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, given what Greg has just said, we have in fact previously acknowledged that pending information from the architects and or Lutheran and Child Family Services as to specific information, namely the windscreen feature in the front as well as the colored glass, we had previously deemed that the application was complete. From my perspective, I believe that the questions as to additional information as to those features has in fact been satisfied, albeit no further information beyond what one can just ascertain from a visual inspection that any one of us could take. We don't have anything that's specific either to the prior owner or the architects who were involved. Does anyone have any thoughts as to the completeness of the application and whether we've satisfied the requirements that we had previously established in 2020 in order to then schedule a public hearing?
Well, this is Jan. Since I was at that meeting, I say that our request has been satisfied. Nothing, because nothing more is coming. And so, in my opinion, we should continue with the next step in the process, which I understand is to set up the go through the for the hearing for the demolition, which would so today we. Is this a motion that we have to do?
So tonight the action item would be a motion to accept the village's application as complete, acknowledge its completeness, and allow staff to take the steps necessary to set the public hearing up at a date that works for this group, but then issue the notices. And so yes, it is a motion.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
You call the vote.
I sure can. Sager?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Krasinski?
Yes.
Brannick?
Yes. Two things. One, I would like to extend my sincere apologies to the village administrator for not recognizing his presence in order to provide a presentation of the village's request with respect to the former Lutheran Child and Family Services building. There were several members of the village staff here, and I did not recognize that they were here on business.
I'll second your apology, Dave.
No, it just has to be green. Okay. You know what, Brian, you can always just sit at the
desk. You know, yeah. Chairman Franek, thank you for the kind words, but you really did a much better job in presenting what I was going to try to attempt to say. So I do appreciate you acknowledging me, but more importantly, I do appreciate the background. Hopefully you all were able to hear me a little bit better. We'll have to see if it's just me where I'm speaking into the microphone. I might have been talking over it.
Brian, I thank you for that that kind acknowledgement. I reminded in my business career, I once negotiated a lengthy contract with an attorney who was of Native American heritage, indigenous heritage. His mother was a full-blooded Passamaquoddy Indian from down east Maine. And I pointed out to him that in the contract he had prepared, there was a significant discrepancy from the business deal. It was much in my client's favor and much against his client, but it did not reflect the business deal that our clients had agreed to. And he then informed me that the way one can always tell something which is done by one of the indigenous nations in many places in the world is there's always an intentional mistake because only the creator is perfect. I find that to be handy under such circumstances. I also at this time have to also admit that I have not one but two mistakes. Namely, I did not ask whether there was any public comment other than members of the village administration. I do not notice any members of the public, but we probably should in fact have that on the record.
There was no one who signed up in advance to speak, and there is no one on the phone who is a member of the public.
I guess I'm doubly human tonight. The next item is a reminder. We are all required to file a statement of economic interest with Cook County. You probably have received that information via email on multiple occasions. It's a pretty simple two-page document, but in fact, it needs to be completed, I believe, by May 2nd.
That's correct.
Failing which, I believe the village would get fined for noncompliance.
So in case because you're not on the microphone, so the individual appointees would be fined individually, and it is a condition of appointment. So you would not be able to continue on as an appointed official if you don't complete the statement.
Those last two are further stiffenings of the incentives. So please do complete that. It's not all that difficult. If in fact there are any questions, to whom should those questions be directed?
The Deputy Village Clerk and Management Analyst, Elijah Bibora. And so if you haven't found the email that Elijah sent initially, our contact information is all on the village website. You're certainly welcome to also call Brian or Matt Walsh, the new assistant to the village administrator who's joined us tonight, and they would be able to direct you over to Elijah. If you have technical questions about the application, we would recommend that you call Cook County. We, as staff, are unable to advise you how to complete the form or offer you any guidance, but in the emails that we have sent, the pesky emails, I will admit, we've tried to connect you with some resources to Cook County, as well as the Illinois Municipal League, that put together some guidance that's available online to help you complete that form should you have any questions.
Next, discussion regarding the annual presentation of preservation awards. May nationally is Historic Preservation Month, and accordingly, what we have done each year is we have sought to gather nominations for properties which have been rehabbed within the village or reconstructed within the village that are worthy of commendation for their preservation efforts. Part of the packet you received tonight is a copy of that application. And the reason for that is if you look at the first page, it details the various awards and specifically what each one is aimed at. And they all, between that, the six awards pretty much control the whole panoply of potential items that could be awarded. So please look at that and come to our next meeting with whatever thoughts you may have as to nominating folks for that. They can also fill out applications, obviously, and send them directly to the village. Any further thoughts, questions, comments, John, Scott, Jan, on that one issue, on the preservation awards?
None from me.
No.
We've done nothing yet. We haven't.
I don't believe so. The one thing I noticed is that the application talks in terms of construction that has been performed since 2016. I don't know if we want to update that. I think that may be just a carryover from prior years. That's something we can also talk about at the next meeting.
I think you're right, Chairman Franek. I think it's within the last 5 years, and so that date would need to be updated.
Okay.
As we sit, I'm connecting with our communications team because with mentioning that it's Historic Preservation Month, I think we can certainly use our weekly e-news and perhaps media to advertise, number one, that we're soliciting for award applications, and number two, spend a little bit of time talking about previous award recipients to just help residents be aware of the rich architectural heritage of the community, as well as the awards program.
Thanks, Lisa. One of the things that we do, in addition to having an in-person presentation, is we give folks a metal yard sign. It's rather large, that they're able to place in their properties. And in fact, a past winner has requested to keep that permanently, which I believe we granted, so that they could continue to display it. Such was the quality of the restoration and the pride in which they took within it. Discussion of additional ways to protect significant properties. This is one of the things that we bring up each month, and I would like to sort of kickstart this. What I'm interested in doing is having a robust discussion. And again, people can have it tonight. They can defer it to the following meeting or the meeting after that. But in any event, we need to sort of ramp up public engagement. One of the things that we have done is we've established an ordinance, we've established a survey, we have met with various property owners as they have had their applications presented to us. They have almost uniformly acknowledged the value of meeting with us, and most have said that, in fact, they wish they had our input prior to their engaging a contractor, and to use the line that one of the applicants said, having a basement full of windows that are probably more expensive and less appropriate than they should or could be. So again, that's something that I would like to call people's attention to. And if you could spend some time thinking about that, in addition to talking about tonight, anything you've got in terms of any issue, any thoughts? Pam?
I have plenty.
There you go.
Okay. So, number one, May 1st, the Historical Society of Oak Park and River Forest is having their annual house walk, and every year it alternates between Oak Park and River Forest. This year it's in River Forest. 7 homes, you go inside to view the first floor of each home. Four or 5 of them are on the significant property list. They're all on Keystone and Thatcher between Lake and Chicago Avenue. If you go to oprfmuseum.org, you'll see the motion for that. Also, I sent Matt the flyer from the Historical Society. And maybe, I don't know if we can get that on the village website, but at least pass it around to the commissioners, maybe all commissioners. Probably like to see, you know, some of what goes on, why they're doing the work for our village. So because of doing the research on these houses, we found that there's a house that we believe is worthy of being on the significant property list. And this happens when we're doing research. We find out that we find the first owner is somebody noteworthy. In the case of 629 Thatcher, which is on the house walk, we find that the architect is Harry H. Mollis. He's very important. He did a lot of work downtown. He might have been he was reportedly with Hullabird, and I guess it was Roche at that time rather than Root. I'm not sure. But he also lived here. He designed the Sorry about this. Is this one of those mistakes you get?
And you thought it only occurs on live television.
Sorry. Please accept my apologies for that interruption.
None necessary.
Rude caller.
None necessary.
In this case, Harry Mahler is very important. So that house now would qualify to be on the significant property list. We identified another house at 527 Thatcher several months ago. And then there's another house that we found in research that's going to be on the tour May 1st, is 544 Thatcher. So then that brings up the question. Okay, we've got the significant property list. It was, as Dave talked about earlier, it was created through the work of the survey, the architects, the group. And even so, now what do we do about new significant properties? And in our ordinance, the fine print says, in case periodically and with prior village board approval, cause a survey to be conducted of structures, buildings, sites, and areas in the village in order to list those properties which are found to be significant. And that's under 13.13b2. So that probably are, you know, would we be having another survey? Would we be asking to spend money on that? How could we get significant properties designated other than going through a survey process? Expensive. So is anybody interested in talking? I mean, I've come up with three. I mean, we lose properties, but we don't replace them.
To be sure. That's Greg.
Well, the ordinance discusses the survey as the precondition to the list being updated. So if you wanted to not use a survey but some other method, then you'd need to amend the ordinance. I think the point of the survey is, as Chair Pranick said earlier, it's created by individuals with expertise so that it's vetted and it's got some legitimacy, because if you create a list without expertise backing it, the public and people affected by it may question its validity. Also, the ordinance, as you noted, states that the village board approves the refresher or updates to the survey, likely because you would have to make a budget request. As occurred previously, the village board is going to be approving its budget for the coming fiscal year on Monday night. The commission could work on making a request to the board, perhaps for next fiscal year, assuming that you didn't do so previously, to see if there might be some funds for this purpose. But I don't know. I haven't worked with enough HPCs or any that has updated the list to know what else they do other than a survey. I think a survey is probably an important.
I think Greg's response is not only considered, but legal on behalf of the village, but from a personal standpoint, I think it makes an awful lot of sense. I think there are a couple of things that we have to keep in mind. One is, what are in fact the legal requirements in order to affect actions to the survey? And that would be a new survey, which would call the budget process. And there would probably be some minimal charge to do any update, whether it was 1, 5, or 10 additional properties. Secondly, I think it's important from a practical community aspect that it's important that we have the expertise of architects behind it, saying, while we are all interested and while we are all very active in the preservation community, it may make some sense at an appropriate time when we've got enough of these properties to engage, but certainly engage with architects to update the survey.
And in terms of the mechanics of getting budget for the commission to attach to this effort, you would work with your staff liaison on, you know, what might this cost, and then they can help present that at budget time through the normal channels to be presented to the village board as a request. And then the village board, it says here, still has to approve the survey to be made. So you would bring together your, you know, request for funding along with the request that the survey be updated and marry those two together and present it to the board.
It's also possible that One of the criteria typically for preservation is that the property be at least 50 years old. Given the fact that the survey was formally adopted in 2013, we're now coming up next year on the 10th anniversary, and there are probably some mid-century modern homes which may in fact reach into, cross over that threshold into the 50 years in order to beef up a potential request.
So with the group that did the survey in 2013, is probably it's going to cost some money. Is there any way to circle back to them about why they're, it was pretty easy to find the architect for 620, a document that is pretty, and the reference to the Steiner Index is Construction News, which is a very well-known architectural, I guess the Chicago Architectural Society or downtown has access to the construction. So is there a possibility that we can still tap any information from them without going through a budget process? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, we could certainly ask them as to what the thought process is, but we couldn't, I don't think, formally add something as an amendation thing. Oops, they goofed. I think what it would do, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but I think what it would do is it would certainly make its inclusion later much, much easier, as opposed to adding it as the correction of an errata.
The ordinance requires village board approval for a survey to be created or updated in this case, but the commission can certainly perform work in the meantime that's a prelude to going to the board and saying, we want to work on the survey. Here's some of our thoughts.
We would work on the survey.
Right, and that work could include reaching out to primary sources or other experts to get their input.
Yeah.
The commission can't commit the funds of the village, right? You can't go start generating invoices for time, but often, past contractors of the village are willing to speak to village about things. So if you were to approach the architect who worked on the survey, they might be willing to give you some of their time.
Can you say other experts like wealth besides?
Oh, there's preservation groups, and I mean, broader term in case, I don't want to miss anyone. There's historians, I suppose, who aren't architects that may have relevant information as well.
Yeah, I'm more than happy now. 629 Thatcher. What's the other?
So 629 Thatcher, it has historical and the architectural significance because of the architect and also because of who commissioned to build it. It was Tom Jackson, who was a village trustee and also village president. We did find that almost everybody was because there wasn't a big gene pool, number one, back in those days, and number two, women couldn't serve because we didn't have the vote. So, and 629 is the newest house on the tour. It's 110 years old. It was built 1911. Everything else is 1872, 1876. So, 629 has two. Then the 527 Thatcher, we know that was the John Broughton house number one through all of the research that was done. And we may have identified that architect as Hodgkins, not Hodgkiss, but Hodgkins. But we're not sure, but we definitely know who built it. And that was John Broughton, who did build 530 Keystone, which is on our significant property. Then the third house that's going to be on the tour on May 1st is 544 Thatcher, the Prouty House. And it's for its architectural significance, this probably not anything outstanding, but its historical value is that it was built by George L. Thatcher or his mother-in-law. And it's a cute story. She was then widowed, his wife. And so they had Mrs. Prouty live with them. Well, with all the Prouty family, it got a little too much for Mrs. Prouty with the George L. Thatcher and the wife and the kids. And so he just said, I'll build you this house on the back lot. His house is on Edgewood, and it's also on the significant. And also George was a village president, and he was first village attorney from 1880, which was incorporated for about the first 9 years. So anyway, so he built the house for his mother-in-law, and he built it as a two-flat so that she could be independent and have her own income. So that's the history, you know, that's a historical value to that house. Then there's actually another house at 535. I don't think that's on the property list either. And that's rather nondescript. I think the facade went through a lot of changes. But again, it's the Odell house. And the Odells were very, very instrumental starting the Methodist Church.
One of the reasons why 544, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the one with the columns?
No, that's 553. No,
that's 553?
That's Carlotta, okay. Yeah. Okay. No, 544 is just it's a flat, it's painted blue,
okay.
And it's a single family now, but you can tell it was because the second level has the same picture window that the first level
sure.
has. But, yeah, so, no, 553, the columns, that's. So we have, you know, through these researches, and this is, you know, it's not through an architect, it's not through who you would call an expert, but it's through news, old news statements, it's old permits that we find.
Why don't we do this? I'll, if it's okay with the commission, I'll reach out to the architects and see if they want to talk to us gratis.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If in fact they do, then I'll work with you, Jane, and try to figure out a time when you and I can talk to the architects and find
sure.
out. I believe that two of us can talk separately without being violative of the Open Meetings Act.
Let me know.
Okay, all right.
And then we do have, you know, at the back of our survey, we do have those properties that you mentioned, Dave, that are now past the 50-year mark.
Yeah.
So that's the proper way to go. Okay. Not to just ask some homeowner if they'd like to be on the list. That's not the way to go.
We've got to be a bit more formalized.
Okay. More professional. Okay. I didn't hear anybody else.
Any other thoughts, Jim?
I do. So then, where's my note? Oh, yeah. Okay. This is promotional. This is promoting River Forest. And this came up from a past commissioner, Mike Pritz. And so, because this house walk is always in May, and it's either in River Forest or in Oak Park. They're not going to change that. But what we do have that could be a combined effort is with the Park District. They have the food truck rally, and it's over in the depot parking lot. And they had it for a few years, then stopped from COVID. They had it last year. I just confirmed with one of the Park District board members that it will be August 27th from 4 to 9 p.m. And there are food trucks, there are bands for music, there's beer, there's pop. It's a whole family kid day. So from Mike's idea came the thought that maybe we can promote walking to advertise or market, spend the day in the village, give a link to our historic homes brochure that the Preservation Commission put together, I don't know, 4 years ago, that
Probably three-ish.
Three, four. And but it's on the village website. You can download the whole thing. And encourage people to ride their bikes around town, do whatever, but do a partnership with the park district. Ask them if they'd be willing to advertise this day in the village. Go around, look at the houses, then come on over for pop and beer and fun. That was an idea. What anybody else thinks of that.
I think it would be nice to do something. I think it's a good idea. I mean, they're, at least with the two streets that'll be on the walk on May 1st, I mean, that event is right next to them. You could probably encourage people to go right then. I mean, up and down the couple of blocks.
Yeah.
But I like it in general, the whole concept of get to understand how kind of special your village is.
Yeah. Would someone like to take a little ownership and reach out to the park district? Now is the time to step up and be counted.
I may have to ask questions of Jan or the chairman, but I'll reach out to the Parks Department. This is John Schwartz.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Well, that'd be great. I mean, I see it as a subcommittee anyway, where we would, you know, you just go take all day, just don't take off and do something, but where we do have a concerted kind of a plan.
Well, if you and John would like to do that, there's two of you, therefore it's not subject to open meetings. And you can...
So two of us.
There you go.
All right, John, I will work with you.
Okay, sounds good.
How's that sound? And do you know what I'm talking, the brochure that I'm talking about?
I do. I have one somewhere sitting right around here. Yeah, it's nice.
So we can put JS squared next to that.
Yes. Okay, so that was it. Those were my big ideas.
John, do you have any additional thoughts?
Not up to the standard that Jan just set, but one of the things I was wondering, and again, I still feel incredibly new to this and don't have the wealth of history that everyone else in the group does. I just wonder if the group ever invites kind of Chicago area preservation voices to talk to the group. And I don't know if it's, I always value listening to people with expertise in their fields. And I think talking with historic preservation experts, telling us ways that other villages, other cities have kind of expanded the protection of buildings or expanded the understanding of how important the cities or villages are is always, I find it interesting. And so I don't know if anybody in the area would be interested in talking to the commission, but maybe we could just ask questions, invite them to one of our meetings and ask them questions, and maybe it would spark the commission's thoughts a little bit more. So I didn't spend a lot of time thinking of that, obviously, but I was thinking about it as Jan was talking. There are certainly, the area is rich with people who do this kind of work or have this kind of knowledge. So I just didn't know if they would ever be invited before a group like this one.
Sure. John, the overarching group is called Landmarks Illinois. They're headquartered in Chicago. And in fact, when we were discussing the various provisions within the ordinance, I reached out to them and spoke to them at great length as to what their thoughts were with respect to various provisions. Additionally, there at one point in time, I think it's probably been 6 or 7 years since it was back fully active, to the best of my knowledge. And I think it's been kind of quiescent because of COVID. There was a group of West Suburban Preservation commissions that would meet periodically. And I know I attended at least two of their meetings. And I believe at least one of our former commissioners also attended one or two of those meetings as well, in order to discuss that concept. But I'm more than happy to reach out to the folks at Landmarks Illinois, find out, in fact, if there is still a West Suburban organization. If so, who the contact people are. If not, whether someone from Landmarks Illinois would have the opportunity to just come and chat with us as to various ways to engender community engagement. One of the comments they made is they were particularly complimentary of what we ultimately wound up with as an ordinance, and they were particularly impressed with the survey that had been prepared in terms of its completeness, plus the fact that it's a living, breathing document that's easily amendable in the future to either correct typographical errors or to provide additional information on various properties. So.
Sounds great.
Any other thoughts, John?
None from this, John.
Scott, thoughts?
I don't have any right now.
Okay. I'm making a few notes. Bear with me for a moment.
Okay, I have an.
Pam?
Well, to follow up on what you said about the survey being a living, breathing document. But there are steps that apparently, legal steps that we keep in mind when we're trying to amendments. Did have another thing I wanted to mention, and it is on our website, on our HPC website. When I was going to the searchable database, there are some links, and there's one link about researching your home. And Dave Franek, I don't know if you remember this, but it was a brochure that was put out by the first Preservation Commission, and several names are on there. Laurel McMahon and Judy DeGracius, yourself, Tom Zarowski. Dave Rainelogden. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice brochure, but it's outdated. And so I don't think we should scrap it, but it certainly needs to be.
Okay.
And I can tell you exactly which link it is. And also in there is the reference to the Historical Society, which at that time was in Pleasant Home, and now they have their own home.
Sure.
Just kind of a house cleaning on that.
What's the link, Jan?
I think it's called How to Research Your Home. It's way at the bottom of our landing page.
Okay.
And
yep.
I
think I know what you're talking about. Okay.
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 Thanks.
Any other additional business? I do have one thing. In mid-August, our garage was wounded, in fact, partially demolished, when what our longtime arborist told us was between 150 and 200-year-old oak fell on it. Fortunately, it fell on a portion of the garage that we use for storage, which was a flat roof, not the sort of domed roof of the balance of the garage that shelters our cars. We were able to get that enclosed for the winter this past November, in accordance with the public health and safety issues that allow for an expedited safety precautions with respect to historic properties, significant properties have been damaged. So that's what we did. We plan on restoring the garage, the portion of the garage that was restored, that was damaged, to as near as its prior exterior look, which will, as a result, and we anticipate that that will be presented at the May meeting. Accordingly, I would have to recuse myself from that. And to that end, we will need to select chair pro tem for that one meeting in my absence. So do we have someone who would like to take that responsibility? All I can say is that it involves basically calling through the agenda and working with the staff liaison in advance just to assure that any comments or questions that arise in the interim be placed on the agenda before it is sent out. Pretty easy process.
Let me get this. So this is not a demolition.
No.
This isn't really a hearing. This is just an agenda item.
I think it probably is a hearing. I mean, I am being extremely cautious in this as chair and owner of a significant property.
Yeah, and I think that the commission shouldn't discuss the merits of the case before it's presented to you. I think the chair's request is someone willing to serve pro tem, since he cannot sit in judgment on his own application, of course.
Yep.
I'm wondering the whole meeting. You know, when, because there's only four of us here.
I don't think we're going to talk specifically about that application because there's nothing in front. We have David Reynal Ogden is our architect. He and his office have prepared plans for the external area. I don't want to to what extent, Greg, am I allowed at this time to say what we're doing, what we're not doing?
I recommend waiting until the application is submitted there's not an argument that as the chair you're presenting
absolutely.
Your own application.
That's my
during this
exactly.
meeting.
Exactly. That's what I'm really trying to
less
say.
Less is more at this meeting.
I am trying to say as little as possible, but I'm trying to explain how we got here and why we were able, because of health and safety considerations, because a massive oak, which was sufficiently large that when the arborists removed it, even though they used a downtown Gatwood crane to move it, they had to saw the trunk into 3 to 4 foot lengths because it was otherwise too heavy to put into their tractor trailer to take off the site. Yeah, and I am really trying to literally say nothing other than just to say, okay, this is how we got here. This is what we were doing. Others will talk about it. And I really don't want to say anything.
Then three of us here. There, you know, I'm without Carla saying maybe she would like to come forward or.
Oh, I mean,
that's
in terms of selection of
the
pro tem.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. That can be done.
Do we have to?
It can be done at the meeting.
It can be done at the meeting.
Okay.
I'm just offering that.
That's just a heads up.
This is why I'm not here.
Yeah. Okay. I had the impression that maybe one of us three was going to have.
Not necessarily.
Fine. Great.
No, not necessary. Does anyone have anything else?
None from me.
Not me.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved by John Schwartz.
Is there a second?
I second.
Schwartz?
Aye.
Sager?
Aye.
Franek?
Aye.
Krasinski?
Aye.
Motion passes. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.